Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Nerd off, nerd off, nerd off.
Mahalo, and welcome to another episode of the Nerd Off. Episode 9, I believe. There's 9 of these already. We've been nerding off really hard, and our hands are sore. We have a full house today.
That's a double entendre. That's a double entendre.
We have a full house today. Went out, got some... a special guest that can actually know some things that we just like to speculate and talk shit about. I'll start first though with the nerd who wasn't here because we didn't do a show last week because she had to get her hair did.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is cooking out. It was 4th of July. I understood. I said, hey, you don't want to force nerding into things that have no nerd about them. I get it. We're back, so we had to bring her back. It's the Khaleesi of Tanks. Karen, what's going on?
I'm doing good over here.
How many nicknames did you give her, dog?
I got a lot of
them. She has a lot of them.
No, I'm good.
I do.
She has a lot of them.
Yeah, speaking of other people that like to speak up, before I introduce them, we got Kev in the house. H2O Kev, what's up, player?
What's going on, man? I gotta do that though.
So. Yeah, I don't mind. At this point, I mean, I feel like I could not introduce anybody and we could just start talking and I feel like people would just fill it in like, oh, okay, they had a new dude on the show. But we also have
the regular voices by now, so.
Yeah. I try to keep the same nerds around. We also have the homie Chris, who has now had a week to recover and should be completely over the silver loss. What's up, player?
I'm not.
I'm still not like, over that either.
No, bullshit, dude. I have a MMA column on my Twitter joint. I just added it this morning back. Like, I had to get rid of it completely because I could not. I'm heartbroken, yo. Okay. I'm not. Like, this is why I don't invest in other sports like teen sports anymore because I can't. I'm too. Like, once I'm in, dog. Like, I went to the gym, and I was just like, they were like, yo, so what do you think about the fight? It didn't happen. No, we saw it. No,
man, I feel your pain. Like, that's the only time I felt like I've ever really been invested in a sport or a team, mm-hmm. in this case, a fighter. And it's like, he lost. Like, I didn't say nothing else after the end of the fight party. Like, I think I just left Chris's place. I think everyone just bounced out. I didn't even want to say anything else after that joint. Then fight for a week, I didn't go to none of the sites. I couldn't stand it. My brother refuses to rewatch the fight. Like, yo, that's heartbreaking.
I'm sorry to hear that, man. I feel bad for you guys, but this isn't Balls Deep Sports. This is the Nerd Off, so I'm gonna switch up. We also have a very special guest, first time on the show, quasi internet person. Ian, well, you can find him a bunch of places. Insane. Oh wait, did I pronounce it right? Yeah, Ian. From Insane Ian. Insane Ian.
Right.
And he's on Bandcamp.
You pronounced Ian correctly, but you pronounced it. It's actually Insane Ian.
Okay. No, I didn't really
fucking with you.
it's like the Colbert Report.
No. Yeah, exactly. No, it is Insane Ian. I do comedy music and I write for Destructoid and I do all sorts of video game stuff.
And he's also on YouTube, Pudding Capacity. I saw one of his videos and it was hilarious. It was the Mario email. I mean the Mario. Let me go find that link. It was the Mario Brothers one. Catch up a bomb mm-hmm. for you, and it was so fucking good. I gotta ask, how long did it take you to do that?
We did that song and video in 3 days.
3 days, man. And what about the planning?
Writing and recording the song and then getting it up on the FUMP, which is another website I work for, the Funny Music Project. It took us just a couple days because I was like, I have to have the video out at the same time the song's going to hit. So we shot that all in one day, and it took my buddy Bob another day and a half to edit it. So.
Yeah, man. Well, it's really well done. I'm going to put a link to it in the chat. I'm going to play a minute or two of it, for the people, listening out there in premium land. So they kind of hear the parody. But I thought I feel like I'm not doing a good enough service because, you know, when you actually watch it, because the video, you get more of the jokes. But I'll play some of the song for people out there.
It is. I'll say this much. It is a virtually shot for shot parody of Bruno Mars's Grenade.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
The one he's talking about. I catch a grenade for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
If you've seen the video for Grenade, it makes a lot more sense too. So,
and I feel like everyone's played Mario Brothers, whether you're hardcore or not. So you should get
it's
these
like a
jokes.
Household name by now.
Yeah, like I said, let me play a little bit for everybody.
Princess Peach, out of reach. That's just how you are. Life in the Mushroom Kingdom shouldn't be this stinking hard. Should've known you were gone in the first instant, but you were in another castle. Another castle. King Koopa grabbed you by Bowser. You were caught. The Koopa troops are fought. I did.
Aw, poor thing.
But you were never there, is all Toad ever said. But what you don't understand is I'd catch up a bomb for you. Jump right under a swamp for you.
Oh man, it's so like I said, man. You gotta see it. Oh, it's so good.
That's good, sweetie.
And it's funny because like when I first saw it, I'm like, "Yo, that's my neighborhood."
Yeah. It was really fun filming the video because I'm walking around Parkville in a Mario outfit, and several school buses went by me, and all the kids are pressed up against the window going, oh my god, it's Mario! They were really excited for that.
Well, not only that, you gotta be careful with that now, because, you know, to catch a predator, cops could have stopped you and been like, sir!
It's really bad when I'm offering the mushrooms, and it's not quite the same thing.
Yeah, if anybody sees...
You know what, Ian? I was actually laughing at that joke, but I was trying to drink water at the same time, so I laughed in my head.
No, I was laughing too because I immediately thought to Kevin and his mushroom stories, and yeah.
Yeah, if the thing
there
that's
might be
funny.
Another one of those this summer too. So
the thing is, if you still
as a guest on this show, you need to fuel my ego and laugh at me louder, please. Much more appropriate, and that was good and fake enough. I appreciate the effort. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do our morning DJ voice.
Yeah, and you know what? And to me, I almost feel sad for Mario. I was like, oh, he was stalking her, and she was leaving him at every level, and they all began to look the same.
Mario.
I was like, oh, he is a simp.
Mario and Link
never got the fact that Princess Peach was having an affair with King Koopa.
Oh yeah,
he can't get over it. That's why he keeps going after that bitch. Like, and he, you know, it doesn't matter if he goes to the wrong castle. You know, he'll never go off and fuck one of them little mushroom men. He keeps going for his bitch. But you know what? She keeps running for that. She likes Koopa.
Well, Mario and Link
going after Daisy, and then in Mario Land, and then he went, you know what? No, Luigi, you can have her. You can have Daisy. I'm still going to go after.
Well, Luigi gets all sloppy seconds though.
Mario and Link. It's like Mario and Link had a contest for who's the biggest simp between the two of them because they both keep chasing after these chicks that keep throwing them in the friend zone. Like, the entire Mario franchise is pretty much an allegory for the friend zone.
Of course.
It's such a friend zone move for you to come to a chick's crib and then she sends out, you know, her underling to be like, she's went to another, you just missed her, man. Oh.
You know, that's probably why a lot of guys got fucked up who were playing Super Mario and they're stuck in friend zones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They always keep trying to save the princess and they get stuck in that zone, just like Mario.
Makes sense to me.
Mario can fuck it.
Hey, now, Ian, man, do you sing for real also? Because I'm noticing, you know, in the singing is quality too. So, are you like, do you only sing for funny, you know, parody stuff, or do you like have an actual musical background or anything?
I'm a theater major. Mm-hmm. I've gotten better at singing. I would not ever call myself a singer, because auto-tune is a really big helpful thing. But it's hard to say. I don't write not funny songs. I write all the songs that I perform, but I don't write anything that's not funny, so I can't really say that I do sing. No, I can't. I don't call myself a singer. I'm a comedian with music.
That's totally respectable, man. Now, you say you wrote or write for Destructoid. Can you just tell, like, the audience what Destructoid is and what your role was there?
Or is Destructoid there? Is a big video game blog site. We get exclusives as far as interviews and reviews and news and previews and stuff. It's yet another video game site that's out there. I am the review monkey in that I review everything nobody else wants to. So this week I'm, you know, doing my impressions on Urban Trial Freestyle for 3DS.
What the fuck is that?
It is the 3DS's version of Trials HD that came out on Xbox
Live. Okay.
It came out on PlayStation Network and Vita and PS3 last month. But for some reason, the 3DS version is the only version with the track editor.
Oh, okay.
Because that makes sense, clearly. But, so I review games, I talk about games, I write funny songs about games, I collect games.
And they do tend to give you, like, the shit games. Like, every time I see you, like, review something, it's just, I'm like, man, why the fuck, Ian? Like,
Ian reviewing Dragon Ball Z.
I remember that review, and I was like, I sat there laughing my ass off of that. I'm like, you really sat there and tried to play the Dragon Ball Z game with the Kinect?
I did, because I have no dignity. So,
well, if it's your job, you know, if it's your job, you got to do what you got to do, bro. You can't, you know, get out. You got to get out there and make the money. That's the thing about the video game journalism thing that is kind of funny. Is people are like, I'll just sit around and play video games all day. I love to do that. It's like, yeah, but the shitty ones too.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. You've got to play through the garbage. Every so often you'll get a Last of Us or a BioShock Infinite, but most of the time you're sitting there playing Vampire Rain.
Oh, sure. You know what? It's the same thing when you do movie reviews. I mean, shit. I felt bad the other day when Phenom had a review Grown Ups 2. Like,
actually, I didn't feel bad for him until he got a flat tire leaving the theater. Then I felt bad for him.
Right. It's just. You hear that kind of, you're like, oh, yeah, you had to do that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Glad it wasn't me, sir.
Part of your
That's
job.
I always feel bad when I got one of you guys, like, a movie that we know is going to be bad. And it's like, one of us got to do it.
Oh, well, see, the last few times we've done that, it's been bad. If you now got the flat tire, then I got stuck in traffic for like 2 hours going to White House Down. So, yeah, man. Yeah, it's the... When you want to review stuff like movies, music, video games, you gotta do it.
So,
you
gotta Ian, take the good with the bad.
Ian, do you own like Xbox and PlayStation and Wii U, all that stuff too?
I don't have a Wii U yet, but I do have Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, Wii. I have 33 game systems currently. I collect games.
Wow.
I have the PlayStation Vita, I have the 3DS, I have a PSP, I have an Atari 800, Atari 2600, Atari Jaguar, Atari Lynx, 3DO, Sega C.
Wait, 3DO, dude?
Yeah, I have a 3DO.
That's like the only one I'm missing. That's the only one I'm missing.
You collect all the systems too, Kev?
Yeah, I don't have most of the handhelds, but I also have, like, I have the Sega Genesis, I have a Sega Saturn, I still have a working regular Nintendo. Actually, I have the top-down Nintendo, Nintendo.
Oh, the toaster.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
I played all those.
I have the easier one. I have a Super Nintendo, I also have the Sega Genesis, Sega CD, Sega Saturn, 32X.
How often are you guys blowing the dust off?
I don't have a TurboGrafx-16.
I don't have a TurboGrafx-16.
And I want a Neo Geo, and that's really kind of what's going to round out my collection.
How often are you guys blowing the dust off those things and playing them?
That's what you're doing?
I have all of them hooked up in my office.
Shit.
Oh, my.
That's you crazy. Know what? I would believe him. I would totally believe him.
Oh, I do believe him. I'm not even doubting it.
The only one I have hooked up is Super Nintendo. So.
Okay. Yeah, man.
The only one I have hooked up is just
the Super. I actually saw the funniest Groupon this week. It was...
My Super Nintendo recently stopped working, so I need to get another Super Nintendo because
that's
the funny thing about it. Because like I had one, it broke, and my grandmother still had hers that was working. She's like, "How about you just take mine? I ain't playing the games anymore." She gave me a buttload of games too. Like she had the entire Mega Man X collection for it. And I was just like,
"Wow,
nice. My grandmother is just awesome." And I love this lady.
So. There was a Groupon this week for a Nintendo, mini Nintendo system. And it was like, I want to say $20 or $30 or something. But it plays cartridges. And it was like over 1,000 of them were sold. And they were like, it's about to sell out. Only one color was left. But I was like, I don't have any Nintendo cartridges left to play. Like, I got rid of those, so I was like, if I bought this, I would now be delving back into the 8-bit days of Nintendo. I was like, I can't start an addiction like this.
No, I can't be blowing off. I need to save my breath.
Right. Well, and I would just, I know I'd be on eBay and shit, like, oh, they got the gold cartridge link.
I'm just more or less glad I didn't throw away most of the stuff I had. Like, I always kept it. Like, they were just, like certain games that I could never get rid of, like that even in that true cartridge form, even when they came out with like remakes on another system, like no, like I still got this working Super Nintendo cartridge. I have like these saved games, like you know, I'd spent time invested in these games when I was younger.
Yeah.
So it's not something that like I felt like I could easily give up. Like you know, that's something
I made the stupid decision when I was younger going into the next system, like in high school, and I was moving from.
And you regular traded Nintendo
him in? To Genesis. I traded in my Nintendo. I traded in all my games.
See, I did that a couple of times too.
And
man.
I've been gradually buying things back that I used to have.
The only one I don't have so back is just the Link to the Past. That's the only one I'm missing from my collection. I cannot find that one.
I never bought one. Link to the Past. I borrowed it from a friend in high school. I had Super Nintendo and he had this game he was telling me about. And he's like, Link to the Past, it's a great game, you'll enjoy it. And I'm like, all right, sure. I borrowed it on Friday and I gave it back to him on Monday. And he goes, what, you didn't like it? I went, no, I beat it.
Yeah, that's what I do. Like, when it comes to my video games, I treat them like women. You know, good or bad, a new one will be here when the bus arrives in 15 minutes. So,
come on, nigga. Come on.
But, so I don't keep anything. I don't save anything. Like, this is funny that the Xbox 360 is the first console where I've kept games that have no value to me. And it's because I'm getting into just downloading them from Xbox Live now, which is a cool feature where it's like, and I can't resell it. So it's like, I guess I like Mass Effect enough to have it forever. And, that's how I do now.
Well, when it's $5, you can't resist that sometimes.
Yeah. Last week they had an excellent sale. I don't know if it's still on, but,
no,
I think it's off actually.
It ended on Tuesday.
Yeah. And I got like The Witcher for $10.
I got the original Dragon Age for $5.
Yeah. I got a couple $5 games. Like I hope people are paying attention to this shit, man. Cause, they just throw up about like once or twice a month, just here's all the games free. And, I love it because I would rather stay in my house, spend $10, get The Witcher 3 or The Witcher 2 or whatever, and not go to GameStop and get a scratched up disc.
Not only that, not have to go to Best Buy and have the woman ignore us at the counter.
Right.
Well, not only that, but some of the games now are priced the same. I still kind of wish that the digital prices would be lower. But if it's a game I got Skyrim. Right. And, like it was the same price for download as it was if I went to the store. So I was like, well, I could go to the store, but I'm right here right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the only real issue I have with, like, the whole digital gaming thing, like, you expect it to be cheaper because it's not like they're having, like, to print you out a disc. It's not like they have to print you out a manual. It's not like they got to make a case for the game. They're only giving you that download over the internet. There's no reason why that should be still $60 as the same price as the in-store game. I don't care if it's day
one. And I think,
like, there's no incentive to actually buy digital until, like, months later.
Yeah. Perfect Dark Zero on Xbox Live on Xbox Live Games on Demand is $20. Mm-hmm. Last week during that sale, it was finally $2.99, which is what it has been at GameStop for 5 years. Right,
and that's the thing is they do need to do it, especially if publishers are actually legitimately pissed off and they want to knock GameStop down on the pedestal, which is one of the things I was excited about. Say that again, I'm sorry.
I said they need to be competitive with the prices.
Right, and it was one of the things I was excited about with Xbox One would have been if you can buy games digitally, especially if they could do it day one. Oh man, I'm there for that all day. I don't want to stand in line at midnight at GameStop because
they already do the day one sales on PS3.
Oh, they do already?
And actually, PlayStation Plus has been doing the free games thing in larger scale and frequency than Xbox has been doing.
Oh yeah.
Xbox has been giving us one game every 3 weeks since this most recent E3. So they've only had two games up, Fable 3 and now Defense Grid, which is an Xbox Live Arcade game in 2008.
It's actually a fun game.
It was it's a fun game, but it was a $10 game when it came out.
Oh, yes. So, I would not have paid $10 for that. But it's actually been taking up a lot of my time recently.
Yeah, and it seems like both companies are starting to adopt each other's strong suits as time goes along, which is good, which is why I like competition.
Yeah, competition is a good thing.
You know, which is like if anything is good comes out of the console wars and video games in general, I feel like it's the most free of the free market things that we have in America, and it always benefits the consumer when they compete. The only thing, until recently, the only thing that really pissed me off was when Xbox started backing off of some of its stuff so they could stay competitive. I was looking forward to the idea of downloading a game day one, being able to virtually trade it, virtually share it, sell it virtually. Like, I was looking forward to that, and maybe we'll get it one year.
Part of what they were doing was that, but the majority of the reason they backed off of that was the DRM that was included with that. Mm-hmm. Sure, the day one download thing, that's very enticing. However, to where most people, you know, would take a game over to a friend's house to play over there if they wanted to do some couch co-op or whatever, couldn't do that with Xbox One games. The Xbox One games, if you bought it retail, if you bought the physical disc, you'd put the disc in your system, it would download the entire game to your hard drive, making the disc useless. You could play the game without the disc. However, if you wanted to take that somewhere else, they would have to pay the same retail price for them to use it on their system.
Well, I think, but that's only if, one, if you're buying the disc anymore. And I think, again, Microsoft is, their fucking PR is just stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you don't. Like, their whole thing should have been, well, first of all, you won't need to buy the disc because you can just download it, first of all. And I think the other thing, too, with the trading thing is I don't think they really – their problem was they put in they said they were going to do all this stuff, but they never explained it. So when it comes to trading your games, you can still trade, but they were like, well, we haven't worked on the details yet, but we'll give you more details later. And I'm like, no. See, you should have just – kept it quiet like Sony did, because Sony's going to do the same fucking thing.
Of course.
And Sony was just like, oh, yeah, we just won't mention it.
Like, Sony changed a lot of their plans during that E3 after the fallout from the Microsoft conference.
Absolutely.
Like, actually, the biggest thing you can even say that indicates that is that the inclusion of the PS4i, because I'm pretty sure that was going to be included with the PlayStation, and they were going to have that because they were talking about the motion controls with the actual new PS4 controller, the analog receptability between that and the camera. Now all of that is gone. Like, a lot of, they were really going to try to go for games made like that, but that's not going to happen now.
And
like, it's going to only be an addition. It's only going to be an addition if that person feels like putting against that.
Unless your name is Nintendo, motion control and cameras and sensor bars have been a failed experiment. Unless your name is Nintendo, Kinect and Move should move the way of 3D TV.
Really? I like the what they were talking about implementing. And I actually have an article about one of the things here.
Yeah.
But I like the telling my Xbox to turn on I'm in the future.
Yes,
I like browsing my
telling it is one thing. Having it actually work when you do it is another.
Well, yeah,
two years ago when they first announced Project Natal, which is what Kinect was called before it was called Kinect.
Yeah.
It did all of the things that the new version of Kinect is supposed to do.
Right.
It was supposedly. And then when we finally got Kinect, it did less than half. It had less than half of the amount of response. It had
doesn't
less
quite
than half
get
of the,
right.
It doesn't what? Quite catch it right, and having the tech to be able to do exactly what it says it should do is...
Well, I mean, in all fairness, though, like, the first TV wasn't the best TV. Like, I feel like that's just part of technology, especially for us growing up in the technology age. I feel like maybe if it failed, this generation, the next generation, I would understand scrapping it. But if they actually have worked on it to the point where I can walk in my house and say Xbox on and go through my channel guide and all that shit, then, I'm there for that. I don't think we can say like, well, it's failed in the past, so it's done. Like, I think it's a little early to call it.
I'll agree with that. I'm saying that the tech as it currently stands, not saying what's coming out with the next gen in November, but the tech as it currently stands, was a failed experiment.
It doesn't work the way it was supposed to work.
I think failed is a harsh word, because let's remember, they added that stuff in after the Xbox was already there. I don't think it's failed. I think it's like a glimpse of what you can do, you'll be able to do. I think they oversold for both. PlayStation 5 and the Kinect. I think they promised the world, and then they realized, like, shit, we added this into our system, and we need to add more. So to me, I'm with everybody else. I'm more excited for the next gen, where they actually have a system built around these motion capture and these camera systems. That's when I think you'll start seeing something that getting the stuff that we were promised. It's kind of hard when you add in new stuff like this.
Yeah.
When it's already built. And so I think
I was going to say, I think part of the problem with adding it in late is that most third parties didn't know what to do with it after it was added in late. How many move games can you name?
How many games can you name that
implemented Kinect in a way that was fun and intuitive?
Go ahead.
That's what I meant by a failed experiment.
I understand. Karen, go ahead.
And also, for me, I want to say about this. When Ian was talking about the copies, maybe this is just me. What adult takes copies of his games to his friend's house? Most of the time, these are children. They call their buddies up and say, come on, buddy, let's go over. You might be an exception to the rules. You might be an exception to the rules.
Yeah.
But the average adult has a buttload full of friends that they get online and they play with.
We do play online a lot.
No, absolutely.
But at the same time, we'll gladly bring like Street Fighter over to a buddy's house and play with everyone.
But I think that
and punching your friend in the arm when he kills you with Dan from Street Fighter 4.
Well, let me ask Chris this. Chris, when's the last time Kev brought over a game to your house and y'all played on the couch?
It was a while ago. As a matter of fact, he was supposed to bring, and this is why I like the Xbox One system. He was supposed to bring over a Street Fighter it was a Mortal Kombat or UFC game that one day, and he forgot.
Yeah, we bring over. Nah, because I think Brandon brought it over.
No. That was before. I remember the last time. The last time we had it was like last year. We had to have a party, and he's with the brand. He was like, "Shit, I forgot." I was like, "God damn it, you're right. I forgot too. I forgot to remind you." If we had the new Xbox One system, if it works the way I'm hoping it would work, he wouldn't have to remember to bring it. He'd just be like, "Oh, I'll just sign in."
Right.
And to me, if that's how this works, I'm sold. I'm in there. That's what I want. Because that way I don't have to – he doesn't have to – like I wanted to if I want him to borrow a game or something like that or trade games that way, I'm going to go like, oh, dude, you scratched my disc now. I got to buy a new one now. You know, I want to get rid of – I would love to get rid of discs.
Me too.
Disc is DRM, and it's annoying. So if I can get rid of that, I don't mind some of the other
things. PlayStation 1, and
I agree with you, Chris. And I guess my thing is this: when you talk about college or you're talking about children, okay. But like I said, YouTube, you guys are subject to the rule, but for most people, they do not want to be bothered with having to carry a physical disc. I know I don't, and I could talk about the Fable. I actually sold my Fable game and threw the book away, but when they said, oh, we're giving Fable away for free, I downloaded that shit, went on, and started playing. I don't have to get up, get off my lazy ass, and switch nothing off and on. I don't have to open up no package, but I'm just, you know, speaking for me personally. I don't, like, and I will
say that has been a convenient too.
And that's the thing.
Here's the best part of that convenience though. You already played Fable 3, so you know that you liked it and you know that you bought it.
Yes.
That's my issue with the download, is that demos aren't really a good representation. I played a great demo absolutely. Of a game that ended up being absolute shit.
And I agree.
And paying full price for a game that you have no tangible copy for, that once you purchase it, you cannot return it all, you cannot trade it in for credit, you can't do anything with it except be stuck with that game.
Well,
you can hold it off your hard drive, but then you're out of
the Xbox One, they did have a system where you could transfer the ownership of the game, but it was like one time, and it had to be something like...
I don't think that's what he was getting at, though. I think he was more or less referring to the fact that there's a lot of times we buy shit games that we think a game is going to be really hot, and then for some reason, though, they don't have any reviews, and, you know, like, you know what, bump it. I can think of a good example of that back when PlayStation 2 was out. They had that Enter the Matrix game come out where they had you play as... They had you play as Jada Pinkett and that other dude. A lot of people ran out and bought that just off the strength of the Matrix. And I'll be honest, that was not a good game. That was a shitty game.
Yeah, but hold on. But there's no cure for a shitty game.
No, like, it's not.
Like, even, especially if you get a shitty game, you try to sell it back to, like, Best Buy or GameStop. Everybody's selling that shitty game back to Xbox or GameStop. Like, it's not like, oh, well, I was able to sell the Matrix back and I got $60. Now time to go out and get another game. Like, there's always some risk associated with buying it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think we should even talk about shitty games, though. It's just, even good games, like, I'll get a game back and I'm like, okay, like, even with the disc. And this is why, again, I'm mad at both Sony and Xbox, because to me, they never talked about the shit that I really wanted to hear. I don't mind doing digital downloading.
Right.
But when you start saying that you'll be able to trade, sell back your digital download games, now I'm like, tell me more.
Right, tell me how.
The responses were...
Neither of them said anything definitive on that.
Yeah.
And that's my problem. It's like, that's what I need to hear, because I want to do that. I like I said, I have Skyrim now. The reason why I'm playing Skyrim more than Borderlands 2 now is I have to get up and put my Borderlands 2 disc in. Mm-hmm. Like, I can just log into my game now and be like, I don't play Skyrim right now. I'll do that. I am fucking lazy. Yeah. I admit that. I love this aspect of doing that. And if I'm going to download it, even Skyrim, let's say I know you can't technically beat this game. Mm-hmm. I'm learning that. But let's say I want to sell it back. You know, let's say I want to sell it back. I can't do that. So right now, the only game I download are games I'm going to want to fucking keep.
Yeah.
And so I want to, like, let's say I buy Bioshock Infinite. I liked it, enjoyed it, but I'm like, I might not play that again. So let me sell it back. Even if GameStop only gives me $5 back, I at least get something back for it. Exactly. If they give me something back for my digital download, or I'll even take credit in either PS Plus or an Xbox Live or whatever, I'll even take credits back towards a new game. I will take that. That right there will make me happy enough, and I'll be like, you guys got me. Until that point, though, I'm like, I can't do it. I can't fully commit to downloading games. I'll even overlook the pricing issue of it being the same price as in the stores. I will do that for now. But I need to be able to sell that game back and get some kind of credit back for it. You give me back Microsoft points or whatever points Sony uses I'm sold, because then I can then put that in.
And you're right. And you're right, Chris. They didn't go into enough detail, but they said you would be able to. They just didn't go, this is how it works.
And to me, that's bad. No. That's bad marketing. That's bad promotion. Cause you're talking to people that don't know anything about your product.
Right.
Everybody's seeing this for the first time. Everybody's hearing this for the first time. And it's one of those things where, because the general public,
you're leaving too much to speculation.
Yeah, because most of the general public is very ignorant to how this process works. they don't really know. And it's almost like you kind of almost have to break it down like a child. Look, guys, this is what we're going to do. Yay.
Well, you know what? It's not even that the general public is ignorant. Microsoft's PR was just fucking bad. Like,
it was terrible.
You couldn't get a good answer out of them. Even people that are in the industry, even people that are educated and know a lot about games and game cultures for years are still confused as to what the fuck was the plan exactly when you guys released it, and what were, you know, it's like they would trickle down shit where it'd be like, well, you can share it with up to 10 friends. Well, how exactly?
I'm sorry, right? Because you know the worst thing about the Microsoft shit is after they fucking canceled everything, then they were like, oh, well, I guess you can't do this now. Motherfuckers.
Right.
Why didn't you leave
You didn't
with
tell
that?
Us we could do that stuff in the
Why
public?
Didn't you leave with that? And that. Right, and now Sony's looking at information.
Like, hold on, y'all both talking at the same time. Chris first, and then Ian.
One at a time, kids.
Chris first, then Ian. Go ahead, Chris.
I'm just saying that once they took stuff away, that's when they started fully explaining what you can no longer do anymore. And I'm like, you fucking assholes. Right. And now Sony's like, we're kind of working on the same stuff there, but yeah, we're just not going to mention it because, you know, every week there's a new Sony article with Sony going like, yeah, we're trying to do the same thing. And I'm just like, fuck both Sony and Microsoft right now. I know everybody's going to be like, well, you guys are just Microsoft fans. No, fuck them both because I don't have the game they're fucking playing.
Yeah,
money for another 12 months because I don't know what the fuck they're doing right now.
And yeah.
Ian, go ahead, man. It's on you.
No, it wasn't a rebuttal. It was an agreement.
I figured. I was
completely agreeing with everything that he was saying in that. They clearly didn't care about anything telling us important about the games.
Right.
When they started their Xbox One conference, they spent 20 minutes talking about how it was a fucking TV and how you were going to get the NFL on it.
Right.
And turn it into Skype.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with gaming.
All right.
Your gaming system presentation.
We have talked a lot about this, and we've talked about it on the past shows, but it was good to get kind of another perspective on it. I have a whole lot of news since we didn't do a show last week, so I'm gonna try to run through it and get quick opinions. And who knows if this will work, but we'll see what's gonna happen. Amazon added Miramax flicks to the instant video lineup, and that's like Pulp Fiction and all, like Kill Bill, Reservoir Dogs.
I still feel like that's everything I see on Netflix though. Because I sometimes jump to Amazon Instant Video, and it's the same stuff I see on Netflix.
I felt that way until I tried to watch Juice, and that shit was on Amazon and not Netflix. And all of a sudden, I had a purpose for having Amazon on my fucking Xbox. Because I love Juice, and that was not going to be acceptable for me to not be able to watch Tupac murder his friends on my TV.
I think I just put it on my Xbox because it came with Amazon Prime, but this every once in a while, but for the most part, it's just like Netflix.
Yeah. You know what I find it more useful for? Current TV shows and some stuff like that.
I didn't even think about that.
Well, you can also rent stuff specifically on there.
On Amazon as well.
Yeah, like I was gonna rent some Naruto Shippuden episodes per episode on there until I found out about Crunchyroll, but I was gonna do that shit just cause I was like, I'm caught up with the disc and I wanna watch these fucking
and it takes them forever.
Episodes. Yeah.
I think I'm gonna do it cause, I don't have I'm slow, but I don't have a DVR. So I think I'm gonna use it for things like, Arrow. Cause I still haven't caught up on the first season of Arrow.
Oh,
and
so
I wanna watch it. I'm like, I might as well, you know, I can buy the whole season. What I love about Amazon is you can do the whole season pass thing.
Yep.
And if you're like halfway through the season, you're just like, I'm not done with this anymore. You can stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I want. And they'll refund you the rest of your money back. I'm like, that's why I like having that. Well, not only that, the 2-day shipping on Amazon Prime is also worth it. So then it's just like, I might as well fucking do it. Like,
I never knew about that. I probably would rent more from Amazon instead of constantly going over to Redbox or something.
Yeah.
The most I've seen of Arrow is just the skin I got on Green Arrow in Injustice.
Oh, you need to watch this shit. You need to watch
like,
it.
Like, they actually have the actor who does his, who plays him on the show, though, doing his voice for the
DC has actually been really good about integrating their properties, because it also has its own comic book series, and it's the exact likeness of the dude from the show and everything. But
I watched the first two. I watched the first like two or three episodes, and I liked it. I just couldn't keep up with. I can't keep up with live shows all the time.
Right.
So I liked it, but
yeah, it's real. It's real good. And I did not think I would be saying. I was started watching this because. I like to pick one horrible show that I think is going to get canceled.
Mm-hmm. And this one the last
as my show to laugh at until it gets canceled. And like everybody knows, my previous show was The Cape.
Yep, and that got canceled.
That was
well, that was actually going to be a given, man. I mean, come on, this man's running around with a rubber cape and shit.
Yeah, it was, but it was good to laugh at, and I didn't have
motherfucker
to.
Motherfucker, Keith David is a carnival, the head of a carnival. And you, whatever, you, yeah, Carney, whatever the hell he was.
You will not besmirch Keith David's name on my.
I never liked to besmirch. He's one of my favorite actors, hands down.
Ooh, I thought I was going to hang up on you.
What the fuck he was thinking when he said he signed on for The Cape? I mean, I think he really wanted a paycheck.
It's a superhero property, and they're signing my checks.
Yep.
That was no Done. Superhero property, sir.
But I thought I was going to have to hang up on
Kev. Not an established one, but it was one that had, here's a hero, he's clearly in a hero outfit. There's a comic book thing. It wasn't like a licensed IP, but it was definitely, we're trying something in the superhero game.
Nah, that dude needed a check.
Yeah, he was thinking about that check. But
he played the hell out of that role, though.
Right. Keith David puts in, he's also in Black Acting Hall of Fame. Him, Clarence Williams III. Like, that dude put everything into that role, man. I felt so.
Have you ever seen him? Have you ever seen Keith David never put 100% into a role?
No.
No. Every role he does.
Plays it.
Dude, they brought him back for the second Riddick movie. Like, just. Right. Like, nobody else in that movie is worth a damn but him and the main dude, man. They were just like, yeah, bring Keith David back. We just need him in this shit. I found this hilarious, and I don't know if it's just ironic or if it's Sony fans trolling or what, but this is actually on Destructoid. You know Jim Sterling at all?
I don't know him personally, but I've interacted with him a good bit. He's the head of the reviews department, so I...
Well, he wrote an article who said fans are starting a petition for the return of the Xbox One DRM policies.
Yeah, they said that last week. Yeah.
God damn, I fucking hate nerds sometimes.
nerds hate nerds.
They bitched so much that, I mean, it was like, fuck Xbox. Sony does this for the fans. Xbox is doing it for the money. What about the soldiers? What about the dying kids in Chicago? Like, I was like, shit, man, I guess they're going to take it away. I mean, whatever. Just, you know, I like those policies, or at least I like the ideas of that they had about what you could do. You know, at least what they leaked out. And I just wanted more details. And I was really waiting for the system to drop. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to buy one, but I was going to wait for a while, find out what you could do and be like, oh, okay. If you can do these things, I'm in. And people were like, no, fuck that. So they took them off and got back into the game. You know, all this shit selling out now. And I'm like, good for you guys at Microsoft, but I'm not interested anymore. And all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute. Let's go on change.org and get these motherfuckers to get the policies back. Man, fuck y'all.
So they're doing, so it really is an Xbox 360. When they pulled the DRM, they called it the Xbox 180.
Yeah.
And now it's pulling it back again.
Yeah.
What I love about this is, the thing I love about this whole argument between, you know, Sony fans and Microsoft fans is when Sony fans act like Sony isn't doing this for the money too. It's like,
right.
You guys do realize that Sony don't give a fuck about you guys either. Like,
nope.
Sony just told you that they care about you, but Sony's like that bad boyfriend that will screw you over the minute they can, but will buy you flowers because your other boyfriend did some bad shit too. It's like, you know, they're not good for you.
They're sitting back there watching and laughing their ass. Right. They knew that's what they wanted to do at first as well, yeah. But as soon as they saw that negative reaction, PS 180, but. Hey, I mean, it looked like, you know, they just had their shit together.
I think Kev will get this joke. Sony is Joe McHale and Ted.
Yeah, yeah.
they're Joe McHale and Ted with this, man. Like, they're just winning by not doing shit, basically. But, you know, whatever. It's like, I just think it's funny that they got 20,000 signatures now after Xbox did a complete 180. It's like, actually, you know, some of this wasn't that bad. So maybe we'll do it anyway. All right. Another thing I was looking at, and this kind of nerdy, kind of hip hop has got a lot of stuff, but, Jay-Z released Magna Carta Holy Grail, his like 75th album last week. And, he released it digitally through the Samsung Galaxy, like phones and tablets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The first 1 million people got it for free if they downloaded it.
And the rest of us got it for free too.
And then a couple minutes after that,
Pirate Bay.
Yeah, a couple minutes after that, everybody on Twitter got it for free.
Now it's on Spotify.
If you knew who to ask. But then the actual like physical release of the CD disc, the DRM of rap, if you will, was actually like 3 or 4 days later. He set like a record for selling shit, you know, like. You know, and they counted all these sales as Billboard and all that stuff. But the problem was that Samsung paid millions of dollars for the app, which pretty much lined Jay-Z's pockets and helped him out immediately, where it's just like, I'm paid up front, no matter how this album does.
That's right.
Which is dynamic and awesome. I wonder if any other rappers are going to try this, any other music artists. I feel like this could be a game changer, except for the fact that the app didn't work.
And that's Samsung's fault.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just me. Samsung did the same thing that, who is it? GameStop do. Mm-hmm. When they be like, oh, we got a sale. It's like, if you're gonna do something that's gonna cause massive amount of people to hit your shit up all at one time, prepare. Right. It's almost like, it's like they sell the sneakers. We only got 100 copies. Okay, but you got a line at the door, and you have
never come to realize or understand why. Like, they'll only give a store like 10 pairs of shoes or some shit. But that's just me.
Come on, man. We all know
demand.
We all know that that is a conspiracy by the white man to have black people kill each other over shoes.
It's
quite obvious.
It's all your fault, Ian. I'm just letting you know.
I knew that.
I have a different theory on the Samsung thing, the app thing, and it's I don't think they gave a shit.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's why. Samsung, like, paying Jay-Z $5 million was like, they basically paid him for a Samsung Galaxy endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
The app, because here's the thing, everybody knew the album was going to leak anyway. So they already knew that 1 million people were going to leak that album and get it anyway. They didn't give a shit. So Samsung and Jay-Z had this brilliant plan of, let's pay Jay-Z $5 million. We're going to have partnerships with him. We're going to do endorsements of, we'll pay for his album, and we'll get a bunch of people to download this app, and they're going to, there might be a few people that go out there and get a Samsung Galaxy just for that, because they're idiots. But for the most part, they didn't give a shit that the album if the app worked. They knew that most people were going to, because I think you can only play the album through the app anyway. So they knew most people were going to end up downloading it anyway. So it's a win-win situation. I mean, you know, it's not the greatest for consumers, but again, major company, they don't give a shit about the consumer.
Yeah.
Only of how much money they can make on it. And to me, I think that's what they were going for. They didn't care.
My favorite detail is that when you go to download the album, the app doesn't do anything but show a white screen with Jay-Z's name crossed out and MCHG on there.
Wow.
And you can't even go back into the app. Because before that, you could check out lyrics and videos and shit like that. Before the countdown expired. But, after that countdown goes off, when you go back to the app, it just shows you the Jay-Z MCHG.
I agree with Chris. They just didn't give a fuck. It's like, and that, you know, that's sad, but you're making people angry, but they was like, well, fuck y'all anyway.
Well, you know what? You already bought the phone. You already got the contract commitment.
Yeah, so they got your money.
Yeah. What do they give a fuck? Ian's gotta dip out real quick. It was good talking to you,
Ian,
man.
Sweetie.
We appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It was fun.
No
I
doubt.
Like talking nerdy things, not like I don't do that every single day of my goddamn life.
Well, you're always welcome back, man. And
I appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And we'll definitely put all your links out there. And everybody go check out his music and check out his YouTube page. He's a hilarious dude, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Talk to you guys later.
Have a good one, Ian. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Thanks for having me.
I think Kev or Chris initiated this call because I can't hang up on him, but so don't worry, he hung up on his own. Alright, so another thing too, this is one of the things I was excited about. Man, I'm just getting more and more mad, but the Xbox One new version of Kinect would be able to scan those fucking annoying ass digital download codes that come with your games.
Yes. Yeah, I caught that one.
Good.
Yeah.
So you don't have to manually put them in no more.
Right.
And it's like 45 numbers. You're like, and then you fuck it up. You're like, shit, now I got to do it all over again.
Like, that shit is the slippery condom wrapper of video gaming.
God. Dude, I put in shift codes today for Borderlands 2. The worst.
It's the, it doesn't, hey, like, you get excited.
Got the chat pad, though.
Chat pad? What's that?
Chat pad.
Yeah, I mean, it comes with, you can buy it for the Xbox, but it has, like, the little, QWERTY keyboard that you just attach to the bottom of the
I don't want to buy something separate for that.
I don't have that. And here's the other thing about this, Kev. What I do have is a Kinect.
Mm-hmm.
So do it already.
Well, like, the worst thing about that article, because I remember you tweeted that out. If you read the comments, this is what I meant when I said gamers today are so single-minded into just games that they can't see bigger than what's in front of them. There are people in that article complaining about it. Well, why would I want to do that? Like, why are we so lazy that we can't? Are you serious? Like, you've never had to put in shift codes for Borderlands 2 or redeem codes for any of the game, and you're telling me that you like doing that? Nobody fucking likes doing that shit. That shit is the worst.
Yeah, the comments.
The
comments were like, I'd rather save $100.
Right.
It was like, well, it's not optional, bitch. So, so it either has this capability or it doesn't. It's not like they go, and if we don't put this technology in your Kinect, it'll actually cost you $20 less. Like, no, it's going to cost what it's going to cost. Do you want this shit or not? And it was cool because, like I said, it's been a two-edged sword. So let me kind of backtrack and say something good about Microsoft since I've kind of been shitting on them all day. I do kind of like the idea that a Reddit campaign can get a feature put onto a console that should have fucking been on there, because enough people on Reddit were like, wait, why can't it do this?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, you know what? You're right. It should be able to do that. And we're going to do it. It doesn't cost anything extra. It's not going to change, you know, anything that you're doing now. It's just going to make our product work better. And this is one of the good times that nerds came through. And it actually helped everybody out. I don't want to shit on it, just to be shitting on, you know, Microsoft or whatever. If it makes my gaming easier, thanks.
Well, not only that, but you know what I'm actually hoping they do? Cause they said this is just their scanning.
Mm-hmm.
Can I speak it? Like, I don't want to be too greedy with it. I'm very happy for this. But I want this to be able to, if I'm going to be able to turn my Xbox on, I should be able to speak the letters into my damn Xbox and.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree,
but you know, I'll take one at a time, man. I'll take one at a time.
But I agree. I don't see why they couldn't do that too.
And my thing is this: all them brains and all them minds with all this technology. Why do people got to tell you to do shit that you already know the goddamn system can do? And it's one of them things where why would? And honestly, you should be able to do this now. On the Kinect now, you should be able to. You know, it has this capability, and it's like. I don't understand why they wait so long. Maybe I'm the one confused.
The thing with that is, your iPhone 3 can do shit that your iPhone 4 can do, but you save some for later, you know?
True.
It's like how, you might not go anal until you get married, you know? It's one of those things where it's you gotta save some mystery for the honeymoon, Karen. And they wanna turn around.
You don't pull out all your bags of tricks at once.
Right. They wanna turn around. Like, Microsoft's like, we're not sucking your dick from the back until we fucking get a ring on it. And that means buying an Xbox One. So I understand where they're coming from.
Okay.
We also had this article, Why Nintendo Games Have Gotten Easier. I'm not reading this whole article, but the main thing I took from it that was funny is, it may come as a shock to some of you that most gamers today cannot finish the original Super Mario Brothers game on the Famicom. We have conducted this test over the past few years to see how difficult we should make our games, and we have found that the number of people unable to finish the first level is steadily increasing. So, yeah, that's why games are easier, because, obviously they can be, and they used to be hard. What they fail to mention, though, is the real reason games are easier, because we can store more data onto our, onto the mediums.
Mm-hmm. And have save points.
Right. So, you don't need to make it hard to keep me playing. Like Mario.
Great point, man.
Yeah, Mario had a limited amount of shit. So it's like, in contrary, it's like, we gotta kill these motherfuckers as fast as possible. When you get home, cause a lot of these games are designed for the arcade anyway. When you get home, we'll give you a 40 man cheat code or whatever the fuck, but we're still killing the shit out of you every step of the way.
There was that one fucking game on, Sega Genesis. It was long as all fuck, and it's like, it's one of those games I've never been a Kid Chameleon. I don't know if you guys ever played that joint.
Yes, I played it.
Like, I don't know why I thought it was cool back in the day. Like, I played it, but that was just one of those games you could not beat. Like, there's no way you could sit there and beat that game in one sitting.
Yeah,
no way. And there's a lot of other games just like that too.
And I guess my thing is this. When the original Mario Brothers came out, I had unlimited fucking time to sit in my house and play it till I memorized the layout.
Of course.
Most people now, even children, they're too demanding. I don't have the time to sit here and invest 6 hours to beat your game.
Right.
Let's also point out the fact that the reason why some of those games were so hard wasn't because they were more complex or we had more save points. I mean, that stuff adds in too. It was also because the physics was completely off on them. And so you spent 30 goddamn minutes trying to jump onto a box somewhere because the actual character wouldn't do what you were trying to get them to fucking do.
Yep.
That was the biggest problem. Like, now, like, you can look at the physics and be like, okay, I can jump on there because if I got to do this and this and this, it makes sense. Back then, you're like,
back in the day with like that Mega Man 2 and that Fireman level, like you had to have split second knee jerk timing to make these impossible ass jumps onto blocks that would constantly disappear under your feet. Like, I've seen YouTube videos of people doing it. It still boggles my mind how I did that back as a little kid. And like, those kind of feats, that's great hand-eye coordination.
That's, to be honest, like, how many times did you buy a game because you love playing the arcade and get home and you find out that the game's actually 45 minutes long?
I've actually never done that. Only real arcade game I've actually bought was Street Fighter.
Golden Axe.
Yeah, that's a prime example. And we played the hell out of that.
I can't say that. Altered Beast.
Right. Yeah, like you in the arcade, you forget because you're like, oh yeah, I only got a quarter.
Game I still haven't beat because that game is damn near impossible to beat too. That difficulty is ridiculous.
It is, dude. And that's why, and you know what? I'm going to just throw it out there. The games weren't as fun. Mm-mm. Necessarily as we're living in a golden age of gaming, dude.
Yes, like, we are.
The games we get now shit on the games we had as kids. And I'm not saying that just from, to like hate on our old games. They were good at the time, but
yes, sir.
You know, now I more have a nostalgia for the games because I'll try to play like Sonic and I'm like 5 minutes in, I'm like, oh, what the fuck am I playing this?
Yep. Like, and I'm looking like, oh, this is 2D. Fuck this.
I forgot.
I've done that every single time I've tried to put like Sonic the Hedgehog 2 or something. But to that same respect,
yeah,
I'll put in like Super Mario World or like Super Mario Bros. 3. I can sit here and play that for hours and be entertained. Like, I don't know if it's a different feel for it, but for some reason, those games still hold up for me.
Yeah, I can understand that. But you know what happens with me with Super Mario? Especially Mario Land 3. When I get to, level 8 or whatever, and it's just super hard. I never liked this.
That last level is insanely hard.
Dude, whenever they're just like, I was like, oh yeah, fuck this game, when a bullet twice the size of the screen comes through and I'm like, there's nowhere to run or hide, I don't know how to get on top of this, I'm gonna die. Like three, you die from the same thing two or three times in a row. You're like, yeah, I'll put something else in.
Well, not only that, but let's also remember those games also, there wasn't a lot of creativity in them because there's only one way to do it. Like you had to beat it usually that way, unless there was like some other like exploit you could do. Mm-hmm. In games these days, you have, like, this is why I'm so excited for, I don't know if it's one of the things you're going to talk about today, but if you start the GTA 5, the new GTA.
Oh, I wasn't gonna bring it up. Go ahead.
No, they were like, one of the things I found so interesting was like some of the jobs they do, like the heist jobs. They were like, you get to plan how you want to do the job, so you can either go in quiet, you can go in, you know, loud, and yeah, you know,
actually,
brute force.
It's actually,
like,
really intricate.
Right, it's like that's what you can do now in game. So yeah, you can make it easy, or you can make it harder. Like they do that in Skyrim. It's like you can go in there and you can sneak in, or you can just go through and kill everybody in the room. It's like, to me, that's more complicated, and it suits the game you want to play. And yeah.
I agree. That's Don Matrick, he's no longer the CEO of Microsoft. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we all kind of thought that they shitted the bed with their PR and their presentation. Mm-hmm. And this is a pretty good confirmation that they did. Now, he did not get quote-unquote fired. He went to work for Zynga. Now, if people know Zynga, well, if you have Facebook, you know Zynga.
I would think that would be an upward move for him, because mm-hmm. I think Zynga is going to probably, Zynga's already taken off, so.
Well, here's why it's not an upward move, because I thought the same thing too, right? Then I read this article. He tried to get Xbox to buy Zynga before he bolted. So, like, before this, I don't know if they were courting him before this already, and he turned it down, like, I got the Xbox, bitch, I'm good. Microsoft coming out that Xbox One. And then he shitted the bed, and he was like, about that job. Y'all still hiring? Cause like, he got this job fast as shit. And then number two, if you tried to get Microsoft to buy Zynga, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like big fish eats little fish here. So, maybe they'll be bigger at some point, but he definitely, I think, bailed out because he knew, like, my rep is shit now. Mm-hmm. So, and you know what? Good for you, buddy. Man, you should get out of there. Like, if nothing else, we've been consistent on this motherfucking podcast about the idea that he fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I mean, the PR, I can't stress it enough. Their PR is horrible. Like I said, their PR is horrible. Sony doing doing great PR too, but they're just concerning me that what Sony's doing right now is that bitch move. Mm. And it's like, I know they're doing a bitch move, and so even though I say, no, that's good that you stayed out of it, I still can't go with them because it's a bitch move.
Well, it's like playing zone and pickup basketball.
Right.
They basically playing zone, and they winning, so you're looking at them like, I mean, y'all winning, but I mean, y'all playing zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, y'all didn't take no chances, bro. Y'all just
said, right.
I can't respect this. But you know, good, it's smart. I won't say it's stupid, but nobody plays zone and pick up basketball. I would never play basketball with you.
That's not smart.
Right. The new Xbox chief is Julie Larson Green. That's right. It's a woman, y'all.
What? Does she got a vagina?
She has a vagina, Karen, I believe. I've not seen it, but I'm assuming so.
I'm assuming so too. I'm just shocked. That's all.
I'm sorry, Karen. Twit Pickett or it didn't happen.
Right. Yeah. you know, at the catfish, I don't trust anybody.
No.
Twit vagina or it's not real.
Some dude is suing Apple because he wants Apple to protect him from pornography.
Yeah. You serious?
Yeah. He said, it's ruining his relationship. Here's the thing though. Apple already kind of does protect us from pornography.
Yes, they do.
Cause you can pretty much only get it if you go to go find it.
Yep.
So I'm gonna just get this dude a quick shut the fuck up.
And it also protects you from pornography cause your shit don't crash when you go to the sites with it putting downloading shit in the background. So yes, they protect you.
Yeah, and they don't have any porn apps. Like, I don't, you know, this dude just sounds like he has a problem. Lionsgate, the, movie studio. Gonna talk about some movies, guys. Apparently, I had no ideas about this. You guys heard of Ender's Game, the movie that's coming out? I guess it was a book before this. You guys, either one of y'all read the book or?
I had read the book a long time ago.
Oh, okay. And I guess Kev had to go, so.
Kev rolled out too? Okay, cool.
Yeah. So it's just us and Chris. All right, but, yeah, so Ender's Game, apparently, the dude who wrote it is a homophobe, and, people are now like, I don't know if you heard, but a lot of gay people in Hollywood.
A whole lot, baby.
And we are not fucking with your movie right now, and people are talking about boycotting the movie and everything.
Here's the question I have, though, about that. Mm-hmm. So is it the guy making the movie, or is it the guy who wrote the book? Because if I remember correctly,
the guy who wrote the book.
It came out a long time ago, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but at the same time, like... if we start boycotting things that are related to people that were homophobes, racists, or anything like that, we're going to be boycotting a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. So,
now, yeah. Here's the thing I will say, and it's kind of the same thing for Chick-fil-A, right? I understand why people boycott the outspoken people. Mm-hmm. Because they make it a thing where it's like, mm-hmm. I'm going to talk bad about these gay people trying to get married. And it's like, well, if you would just shut the fuck up, I'd eat your chicken sandwich, bro. Like,
that's the truth.
I didn't come here for that. I came here for a delicious chicken sandwich. And you keep bringing up the gay people, dog. I want Polynesian sauce on my waffle fries.
That's all I want, yo.
That's all I want. I didn't ask for you fuck. My money is not to support your philosophy outside of that. Mm. It's an exchange for a chicken sandwich and some fries.
Banana milkshake.
Right. And you're making it about more than that. So in a way, I'm kind of like, if it was like, something where like, we found out that this dude, attended a meeting at a church and it said they don't want to do that. I'll be like, okay, why are you getting into his personal life? You've delved into anyone's personal life, you'll find something that you don't like about them and not support them. But when it's like, I'm an outspoken advocate of marriage, the sanctity of marriage, it's like, well, motherfucker, somebody might not go see your movie now. And that's your fault.
Yes, that is. Right.
Shut the fuck up. Or just say, fuck these gay people. I think I'm gonna make money. But apparently, the studio is not saying that because they released an apology and said that they don't,
condone that. That's right. Yeah. Gay money spins. I don't know what about that. People don't understand.
He fucking up their money, dog.
Yes.
Was he coming out and saying stuff?
Yeah. According to this, it says, Orson Scott Card is a vocal detractor of gay rights and is quite outspoken about the dangers of gay marriage. So I don't know if he said something recently or not. But anyway, I'm gonna be honest with people. I wasn't planning on seeing this.
Terrible.
It looks so bad.
It looks fucking horrible. So.
It looks so bad. Only assholes who read the book think this is gonna be good.
No, hey, look, I read the book. I believe you can make a good Ender's Game movie, but that ain't it, dog.
Right.
That ain't it.
People are only gonna see this because it was a book and the book was good.
It looks like Hunger Games.
Yeah.
But it was younger kids, y'all. It's like it was less blood, less action, more cornier shit. No, I'm good.
Oh, that looks so bad. I like every time I see that trailer, it looks worse.
Oh yes.
It's
Ben Kingsley, yo, and he's like Ben Kingsley. Looks like he's gonna be acting his ass off, and I'm gonna be like, bro, it's not that kind of movie, though.
Right? Yeah, like they actually touted Ben Kingsley being in the movie, and I was like, but it's supposed to be a sci-fi action movie, so why would I get out of my house to go see Ben Kingsley acting good?
Worse than seeing somebody overacting who can act good in a terrible movie, dog. That is the worst shit ever, dog.
Like, I get mad at them for wasting this performance. Like, why are you wasting it?
You paid him money for this?
Yeah, you could have been in a good movie doing this, dude. You wasting your time. X-Force, they're talking about making an X-Force movie. And I got excited because I was like, I like Cable, you know, I could get down with some X-Force. And then they said that it's going to be made by Fox. And my excitement died down a little bit because
Fox cannot make good movies when it comes to these type of movies.
Yeah, I was hoping Disney would get their hands on on this, but
Fox owns all the mutant stuff, and that's my problem because the mutants are why I love Marvel so much, and it hurts me that Marvel Studios will probably never be able to make a mutant movie because Fox owns all that shit. And again, this goes back to like what I said with Microsoft. They had bad PR. Let me shit on Marvel. This is for Marvel's fault for whoring themselves out. And they basically whore anybody who, any studio that want to make a movie that involved their name, they sold those fucking rights. And that's why they're in the spot they're in now.
Yeah, they had no forward. They just did not imagine a day when Hollywood would take their movie seriously. And I understand it. I think we all were there. Like growing up, we all had no reason to believe one day leading men would take on the roles of our comic book characters.
I want to know.
But we're not the business. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're not a business. I think as a business decision, it's risky as fuck.
But I want to know who at Marvel had the smart idea to one day go, hey guys, why don't we just create our own studio? We have the money.
Right.
Because that's what changed it. They were like, wait a minute, why don't we just create our own movie studio and make the movies ourselves?
And who knows? Maybe the Fox money enabled them to do that shit. I don't know. But when they were signing away the rights and going, well, if you make a movie every 4 years, you can keep it. Like, did they really just think, like, well, they'll drop it after a while. No way our shit's going to make money.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, what was the thing? Anyway, so, yeah, X-Force movie, but it's by Fox, so.
Yeah, and my thing on that is, somebody asked me about that, too, and I was like, listen, my answer's really short. When Fox finally does a really good X-Men film, not a film with just two with X-Men, which is, I feel like First Class is on, you know, but an actually good team mutant movie, maybe they'll do it with Fantastic Four, or maybe First Class 2 will surprise me and actually have more of a team dynamic to it and actually focus on the team. Mm-hmm. Until that happens, I am never going to be excited for X-Force because it's X-Force.
Right. Yeah. I wonder who they're going to get to play Cable. Like, I don't know.
Oh God, I don't want to know. I mean, you saw who they wanted to get to play Quicksilver for the little. I saw that, and I saw who Whedon wanted to get, and all I could say was, "This is why Fox loses."
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like they want Aaron Tyler Johnson, aka Kick-Ass, to play Quicksilver, and Fox wanted some no name dude like he should be in a Twilight fucking movie. It's like, and you wonder why people don't trust you.
Right. Edgar Wright, who I do trust. Mm-hmm. Said he's finished with the script for Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit!
Yeah, I'm hype. I didn't think I would be hype. I didn't know Edgar Wright was writing this shit.
Oh, did you see the test reel footage they did for it?
No. Mm-hmm. What do you mean test reel?
So they basically it was like last year they showed it at Comic-Con. It was a footage of like real rough Ant-Man footage of him actually in the suit as small, and then he was going back and forth into being big and small, and he was basically knocking out some guys and stuff like that. It was rough, but it was like, that's actually pretty cool. So it should be up online somewhere, you can find it. And I'm like, I saw that and was like, you know what, I'm not a big Ant-Man fan, but I'll watch it.
Yeah, I'm in. So you got me. I love Scott Pilgrim. I love Shaun of the Dead. Hot Fuzz. So
yeah. For all those movies, yes.
That's why Marvel keeps winning when they deal with Disney.
Because they know who to sign up.
Disney plans on a Star Wars push, and analysts are predicting Episode 7 will make over $1 billion in the box office.
I can believe that.
Holy shit.
I can believe that.
Because it's going to be the second... It's going to be the second time they've had a good Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And the fact that it'll actually be good, I think it's going to, it's getting me excited for the fact that I expect this movie to be good as opposed to the other ones where, I've enjoyed some Star Wars movies, but I've always walked away like, it's not the Holy Grail.
Here's the thing. I'll keep saying it. J.J. Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
I rest my case. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry.
Oh, he's directing this one?
Yeah, J.J. Abrams is doing the Star Wars.
Oh, shit, I'm in, dog.
Trekkies can bitch all they want about how it's not really ruined Star Wars. He made the two best Star Wars, Star Trek films ever.
Yes, he did.
And I watched Star Trek. All right, I watched it as a kid. I used to watch it all the fucking time. I watched all Next Generation. I watched the original series when they did the replays of it. I've watched every series except for Enterprise. All right, so yeah. That's my credentials on Star Trek shit. He made the two best Star Trek films ever. You cannot name a better one. No.
Yeah, and news that made me giggle like a fucking schoolgirl. Disney could lose $150 million on The Lone Ranger.
Wow, are you serious? Who?
Good.
Who got the green light for this shit? That person should probably gonna lose their damn job.
Yeah, I like that, cause Disney also lost his money on John Carter last year, or 2 years ago, I think. Yeah, man, this shit looked terrible.
Yes, the whole time
and extremely fucking racially insensitive. I don't care how you frame it. You can't just keep putting Johnny Depp's name in the credits and being like, it's good, right, y'all? No. Mm-hmm. Like, this not enough, man. So, yeah, they could lose $150 million on a white man and Indian face, and good.
They really tried. They really, really tried. Like, this is when they a lot studios do this all the time. They think that they'll ride an actor or actress until the wheels fall off, mm-hmm. and the wheels have officially fallen off on Johnny Depp. And I'm not saying that to bash Depp. I like him.
No, no, no.
When you cast him in certain roles, when you cast him in certain roles,
it's he's fucking brilliant. Perfect. But not for this one.
This is one where they overreach, and I don't understand. And the only person I feel bad for in this movie is Arnie Hammer.
Yeah,
because there was talk about him. They're trying to get him to play Bruce Wayne and Batman for a Justice League film, and it still might happen. But you know, when you get a movie this bad on your filmography, it's hard to get it off.
Yep.
And this film, I hate to say, it was never going to be good.
Yeah, it was
never going to be good.
I'm sure that Army made a ton of fucking bank. I'm sure Johnny Depp made a lot of money, but can we just say Johnny Depp hasn't had a hit in a minute?
Ain't that the truth?
Mm-mm.
It's been a minute. Coasting. Yeah, like I see him in the trailer now, and I go, "Why is this movie gonna suck?" Mm-hmm. You know,
he's been coasting since I would say the first Pirates movie, maybe the second one. Cause I like the second one too. He's been coasting since that one because they made a lot of money, and he don't have to do shit. He's another one of those actors that it's Johnny Depp. He don't have to do shit, so he just shows up, and it's like, "Oh, okay, I just made like $10 million. Cool."
He just did Dark Shadows.
Oh God, I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, that's another one that looked like it was gonna be terrible. Like when they came out with that movie again, it was just like, okay, Hollywood. I remember the Dark. I never watched the Dark Shadows soap opera or whatever the fuck the TV show. But I'm like, first of all, nobody wants to see this movie. Second of all, what makes you think this is a good movie to make? Like when you guys saw the script, you go, oh yeah, this will be good. People will love this. It's like, I don't understand how Hollywood comes up with those ideas. Like, at least with sci-fi, when they do like, you know, what Sharknado was Thursday, at least when they do that, they know this is a bad movie. We're going to go with low budget actors. We're going to go with low budget money and we'll make this movie and it'll be fun for everybody because it's just going to be fun.
And
they actually try to make good movies with a lot of money. Like, didn't Dark Shadow, didn't they shoot that in 3D?
I believe so.
So it's like they use 3D money on Dark Shadow. Like,
yeah, and why? And that's silly. And also, Chris, I think for me, honestly, is because when people that make this decision don't really have no diversity. I don't mean no harm. Like, it's no diversity as far as like the different genre people, and nobody ever says this shit is gonna be terrible. Before they invest all this money.
When I saw the trailer, it looks bad.
It does. To me, too. I was like, no.
There was never a point where this movie looked good to anybody.
No.
Mm. I haven't talked to one person who was like, oh, yeah, man, I went to go see Lone Ranger 2 because, you know, it looks so good.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody. So. Man, the moment they mentioned, like, everybody knew this movie was going to suck the moment they mentioned it was Johnny Depp playing Tonto. That's when we were immediately like, and then when they started trying to make excuses, like I think you mentioned before about the press release they did about how, oh well, no, he's got the blessings and he's an honorary Cherokee now. It's like, yeah, this movie's got to suck now. Like the dead ancestors of the Native Americans who died you know, no, they're not gonna allow this movie to be good because
And the movie was racially insensitive. And like I said, that goes back to that diversity. You didn't go, you didn't really take the time to ask the people, hey, if we do this, you know, would you be angry? You just put the shit out and paid the tribe to go, they all right with
us. You know why they did it? Because, like I said, they had Johnny Depp. That's it. They didn't think it any further than, hey, Johnny Depp, he signed for another movie. You know, we got him with the Pirates of the Caribbean deal. I mean, hey, this might be a hit too. This is a new franchise. And it's like, bruh, he's playing the Indian though. Like when I heard Johnny Depp in The Lone Ranger, I was like, oh, okay, I guess they're gonna do like a kind of comic spoofy version of The Lone Ranger. He's gonna be the white dude going around, you know, Captain Jacking it up. And they was like, oh, no, he gonna be Tonto. I was like, oh, delete, don't need to see this.
You know, the first thing I said when they said Johnny Depp, I was like, is he playing the horse?
Right.
what are they doing here? Because it's like he can't possibly be playing the Lone Ranger, and he damn sure ain't playing Tonto.
Yeah, this ain't Rango.
Tonto? Okay.
This ain't Rango, dude.
Right.
And yeah, I just looked at his IMDb. Yeah, he hasn't had a hit in forever. Mm-mm. Like, I think Rango, some people like that movie. I saw it. It was fucking horrible. I don't know what people saw in it.
What, in Rango?
Yeah, I fell asleep on the shit, and I never fall asleep on movies.
Right, but, you know, he's just phoning it in. Like, he, you know, even that last Pirates movie, like, with the Pirates, they're not really that great.
Yeah.
But you can, the first three to me were still entertaining. Mm-hmm. That last one was just like, he wasn't even really the focus of it as much anymore. Right. It was just like, you could tell he was phoning it in. It's just like, he doesn't want to do movies anymore, guys.
He just, he's like, as long as y'all sending these checks.
I think we saw Pirate 1 in the movies, Pirate 2 in the movies too, right?
I want to say we've seen three of them. We didn't see the one with Selma Hayek.
No.
I refuse.
We didn't see the very last one, and I don't think we've seen the one before that.
No, we saw the one before that, because that's the one with Chow Yun-Fat in it.
Oh,
and that's how
bullshit.
They got me. I was like, oh shit, Chow Yun-Fat, and then I saw it, I was like, he's not doing any Chow Yun-Fat shit. He's just sitting here with his arms folded the whole show.
And that's how I looked at Roger, like, they will not get me with no more of this bullshit.
Yeah. All right. So Amazon is sold out of PlayStation 4s and Xbox One launch day units. So I guess they all the way back now. Guess we can go ahead and say that. But they got such a big lead. It's like they took that DRM shit and got right back in the game. Like,
right.
Fuck, man. I would like to be happy about it, but it's just people supporting the wrong shit. Capcom had to lay off U.S. employees. I wonder if that's because Remember Me didn't do well enough, in the U.S. And, I'll review that game at the end of the show. I like that game. Xbox Live released their beta where they switched from Xbox points to just cash.
Mm-hmm.
They released it for some 360 systems you can sign up for. I decided not to. But if you're not in America and has to translate the money to, different currency, the prices were wrong and people were overcharged for games.
Wow.
And that's why you don't sign up for a beta.
Ain't that the truth?
I'd like to feel sympathy. But that's why you don't take your ass out there sometimes. You gotta wait. You know, if they're telling you this beta is going to change the financial way we've handled transactions, I'm good. I will wait till you get my money 100% correct.
Yeah, I wait till you work all them bugs out.
Yeah, I don't want no refunds and exchanges later on when you like,
we took $300. Here's some Microsoft points. Fuck you. Right. Give me my money back.
Right. I saw that shit. I was like, that's what you get. Try to be fast. In Japan, a CEO of Microsoft said that selling Xbox One would be more difficult. Duh. It's American made by
that's
Microsoft.
Right.
It's always more difficult. But the main thing he was actually talking about is, the way that it's set up is more for a Western lifestyle, because you have like your Netflix, you have your cable companies and all this stuff. And they don't, I guess they have a lot more restrictions in Japan.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. So he was basically like, the entertainment solution, the all-in-one part of it, isn't really as big a seller with Japanese gamers, because they're just more about games, period.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they weren't doing too well over there anyway, so I don't see it as.
And it's almost like vice versa. It's like Microsoft understands American consumers, and it's like PlayStation understands Japan consumers.
Well, Japanese people are very loyal.
And like, that's true too now.
You know, they're racist. And that's why they fuck with it. That's why if you ever see the global sales of like a Game Boy and shit, and I go, when's the fucking Game Boy gonna go on sale in America? It's doing terrible. No, it's not. It's doing terrible here. But it's doing perfectly fine everywhere else.
And that's why the prices ain't dropping.
Yeah, in Japan especially. Like, motherfuckers on that train boxed in 40 people.
Yep.
To a fucking, you know, to a car. Yep. And
so that's why hand sale over there.
Some chicks getting felt up and fucked with some pixels in the corner.
Mm-hmm. And the back of the bus having a gangbang.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're playing your fucking, your Pokemon game, man. Like, it's a completely different culture, man.
Yes, it is.
So when somebody's getting tentacle raped, you know, on the A-line, it's also surrounded by a bunch of fucking, you know, PlayStation handhelds. So, yeah, it makes sense that Xbox will be struggling. This was released. Xbox Live Summer of Arcade dates and prices were revealed. So that was cool. This article, apparently, August 7th, they're going to release Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. For 1,200 Microsoft points, so I think it's like $15 or something like that. Charlie Murder for 800 Microsoft points. Flashback for 800. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, 1,200 Microsoft points. That'll be August 14th. So all this shit, or August 28th. So all this shit is like next month. So be ready. Be looking out, for the sales. And also, you'll know which arcade games are coming out, man. Cause, I actually like a lot of the arcade games that I get. They're cheap and they give a few hours of fun and then you can put them down. Let me review some games. First of all, what have you guys been playing? Chris, what have you been playing lately?
I am playing right now, Skyrim, cause I had never played it before. So I'm getting into it. I really like it. It's got a lot going on. I mean, I haven't even really got into, I've done maybe like a quarter of the main mission, but there's so many side missions in this that I'm really liking it. Like, I remember last year, or was it a year ago, 2 years ago, when everybody was playing it and they were like really into it. I see why. I mean, it's fucking addictive.
Is it multiplayer or one player?
It's single player. Okay. It's single player, but you have so many different options for missions and different choices. And like, I love games like that. So it's a, you know, role playing game. You can have different styles of how you play and stuff like that. So, yeah, I love that. And then, because I talked to you guys about doing this new podcast, Playing Dead, I'm also start going through playing The Walking Dead again, the game by Telltale Games. So I'm playing, episode one from season one so far. I just beat the DLC for it. So going back and playing that game again, trying to get my same choices so I can make choice so we can talk about it next week. But those are the two games I'm playing right now. And, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I got to get on that, man, because I'm a big fan of The Walking Dead, and I didn't realize they had that DLC until you told me. So I went and downloaded it immediately. I need to play that. Then I need to go through the first section again. Tell everybody what Playing Dead is going to be.
So we're going to start off by, the idea came to me when I was playing 400 Days with the DLC for The Walking Dead game about how much this game they made is really like a TV show. Like, they break it out into seasons. Even this little DLC they have is really like a prologue to season two for you, if you will. And I like it because the show is going to be us. You know, me, you, Brandon, Karen, I don't know if she plays or she watches you play, Kev, we'll be sitting around and doing like a Talking Dead show, but for the video game. And we'll go through for each episode, we'll talk about what our choices were. I have a feeling that our choices are going to be different even if we don't decide them up front. Like, I feel like if we have three or four people on the show, we're going to have at least two or three people, if not all of us, made different decisions on what did happen in the game, because some of these decisions are hard to make. you know, and you're really like choosing life and death between two different people. And I want to just have the show where we talk about these different decisions. I have a list of all the decisions you make during that episode, and we'll talk about them and talk about how and why we came up with those decisions and things like that. And I think it'll be pretty good. It's like we'll do it like every 2 weeks, and that'll give us enough time to play each episode and think about our decisions and all the way up to season two. And then we'll go through season two when season two comes out. And I'm thinking that after we do that, I still might keep the show going and we'll do other games like, I don't know, Mass Effect maybe. And we'll talk about decisions in Mass Effect and things like that. But that's where my thought process came for doing this show, because, you know, the game itself is like a TV show. And, you know, me and Kev were having a lengthy discussion in our DMs about the decisions we made in the DLC. And I thought like, that'd be pretty cool to do that in actual podcast form. So that's where it's going to come from. So.
Cool. Karen, what have you been playing?
I've been playing the hell out of Fable 3 because they redid it. And so this is why I am pro downloading, because it is a lot funner for me doing this way. And I think with the relaunch, what I've enjoyed about it is that more people who wouldn't have played Fable or didn't play Fable, for a lot of people, they're playing it for the first time, Fable 3. And so it's really cool when you play and like I can literally see other people playing at the same time, and it was confusing. I would play and I would see like a little bubble bouncing around in the town. I was like, what the fuck is that? I was like, oh, that's Classic. Oh, that's Kevin. So you can literally see people and it will actually show y'all crossing each other and passing each other. And so for me, I've literally been playing hours and hours and hours of that, like replaying it. And it's been so much fun. And something else, I play a demo. Let me see if I can find the name of it. It's called Trantra. Let me see. TerraRia.
I don't know what that game is.
It's like a demo that I seen. And it's a silly demo. It's a small little dude. It's 2D. He takes a pitchfork, and he like digs through dirt and all kinds of shit. It's my speed of game. And so he like digging through dirt, you collect shit, you kill shit. It's a really, really simple game. I played that for 2 hours, and so I was thinking about getting that. So like I said, if you 5 and under, like a lot of my games are simple, so me and Roger were talking about that. I probably will do the Walking Dead, because it's like a push and smash. I can hang with that. We start walking and shooting at the same time, I tap out. I can't do that.
I would love to have as many people on that show, because I just think that it's to me the big experience with the show is going to be us not talking about the decisions we're going to make before we make them, and to get on the show and being like, wait, you killed that person, or wait, you did that, why would you do that, and just have that natural like, but I like that person, why did you do that, and you know, that kind of stuff. It'll be interesting. So yeah, I think Karen, you'd be perfect for that too.
Yeah, I can't wait. And we'll see if Karen can make it through or not, you know.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Some of that button pushing shit gets difficult because she's not one of those. She hasn't memorized her buttons.
I've been playing for years, but most of my games are really, really, like I said, they're simple. So I just go, okay, if I hit this, I right, left. And so I don't really pay attention to the X, Y, A, B, Z, right bumper, left bumper.
Yeah. I've been playing a few games lately. I'll just kind of run through and give them a quick review for all of them. Remember Me was a fun game, but I felt like the combat was really heady. And it's a fighter basically game. It's not a shooter or anything like that. But what I mean by heady is one of the things I liked about it is that if you're a person that's really into mastering your combos and stuff, which I think a lot of people aren't into because it makes it a little more difficult. It makes your combos customizable. And you're able to say, like, I want to take a combo and it's X, X, Y. The first X is like, it does more damage than a normal punch. The second X gives me health. And then the Y would like, cut down on my recharge time that it takes before I can do a power up move. And I can customize all of those. I can be like, okay, well, I want to use an X that does, the recharge thing. Like I can have a combo that does nothing but recharge my health by hitting X, X, X. The problem with this is, it's very sensitive timing wise. So, and the enemies are, you know, pretty good. They try to break up your time and they make you dodge and move. But like, you have a lot of like X, X, Y, dodge, just to get your health up. Or, you know, if you accidentally start hitting random buttons like, oh, I want to hit X, Y, X, you better know what you're doing, because you can fuck around and get yourself into a combo that is really bad against a certain enemy and stuff like that. Hmm. I thought the game was a little difficult. I like some of the platforming of it. I really enjoyed that it had a female protagonist.
Yeah.
I like their story. Although I will say the scope of the story was really fucking small, because it all revolved around like an accident, a car accident. And then it's like, really, a car accident led to all this shit? Because you're talking about a future where you sell memories and like can you like hack into someone's brain and make them remember something different and change their entire motivation for their lives and shit. All because someone got in a car accident one day and no one dies in a car accident or anything. Like, I don't know. It was just one of those, like, this is it's a little heady. It's very, very French and very foreign, but, I enjoyed it, but, I wouldn't say it's definitely not for everybody. I'll say that much. But black female protagonist, you had me at the hello. You know?
Oh, well, yeah. Yes. So that's what you had to say first, you know? It's like, oh, well, okay, that makes sense then.
Yeah. I was like, look at that ass. I mean, I respect you for your mind. but you know, like I said, it looks really good too.
It does.
But I don't know a better way to say it, but the game is really French. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
So it retreats a lot, or it keeps up?
I mean, like you. I wasn't even gonna slander the country, but it's just very foreign sensibilities compared to America. It's not impossible white man, like, you know.
So she has a fat ass, but her legs are hairy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she has jeans.
She don't shave her knee for arms.
She wears jeans most of the time.
I see where you're going with this.
So, yeah, she didn't use any deodorant, so I was a little turned off by that. I played Assassin's Creed Revelations. This game is long.
It is.
Like, I played 29 hours of this shit, to beat it.
Woo.
And, it's very repetitive, all that stuff, but I played the other two, so I'm not shitting on it for that. I get it. But I don't really care anymore about these games, because they all end the same way, which is that you don't really know what the fuck happened.
Right, you don't know. That is the biggest problem with these games. Like, they had me with the first, I never played the first one, I played the second one. And after I played Assassin's Creed 2, I was like, okay, wow, that ending got me, I gotta play the next one. So I played Brotherhood, and I was like, all right, cool. What are we doing now? All right, cool. I just played the third one. We're going to America. So this is going to be finally it. We're going to go to America. I'm finally get some fucking answers. We're going to be, the fuck?
Right.
Like that. And that's how I feel with, I can't say they're bad games, but it's getting to the point where I'm like, you guys got to stop releasing these games like Madden.
Right.
And start answering some fucking questions.
Cause it's like Lost. For people that watch Lost, it's like Lost. Every question is answered with a question. Not enough shit is conclusive. Mm-hmm. And every time you accomplish something, you go, well, what did I accomplish? And mm-hmm. I'm tired of ending these games with a sense of like, that I didn't do anything. I'm right back where I started from. You know? So yeah, fuck these games. I think I'm done. I think I am done with Assassin's Creed. I'm too mad.
Right, the problem with saying that I'm done is that every time they release a new one, because I was done after the last one, I was like, I'm going to wait. And then they released that trailer, and I was like, damn you fuckers, because that looks awesome.
You know what I realized, Chris? And this actually happened to me last year, because I still haven't gotten the third one that everybody's played. Mm-hmm. I realized that the trailers always take out all the tedious shit you do during the game.
True.
They do.
That's true.
Like, the trailer is just an ultra cool cutscene, and when I watch it, I go, oh, I want to do that for a whole game. But it's not that for a whole game. It's like maybe an hour of the shit they show. It's like ship battles, such and such, this, you're going to be jumping through buildings, you're going to be, like, running, grabbing right. trees. I'm like, word, I can run on trees, nigga. And then, you know, it's like, you're going to take a hatchet, throw it across the room, pull it out his head, and then cut off another dude's head. You're like, I want to do that shit. And then when you fucking get the game, it's like, but first you need to climb this tower because this area is owned by them. And once you get to the top of the tower, hit the LS button. You'll be able to see everything and jump down. Try not to walk into those guards because those guards, if they see you walking too fast,
ain't
they'll
try
to
run. Ain't this the game where you land in the hay?
Yeah. And like, you know, I don't want to play a game to feel like, a black man in America already where everything I do is suspect. Cause like I get stressed out just walking down the streets, like walk over here to the neck to the end of the mission, and I'm walking, and then like a guard will just stop and be like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I'm like, "God damn it!"
Well, not like that, but it gets to a point where the game has become these games have. I like again, I can't say that they're bad games. They're not bad games. They become so intricate, and I think this is a problem with the Assassin's Creed games. They are so intricate now; they are no longer games. They are work.
Yes.
It is a job now to play Assassin's Creed, and it's like when you and this you say that how exciting you get for the trailers. Maybe it's just like work because when you get that first new job, guess what it is? You're excited, you're like, yeah, man, I got a new job. It's great pay. It's gonna be awesome. You go to your first day orientation. You're like, this is gonna be awesome. A month later, you're like, I fucking hate this place, man. It's fucking work. And that's the problem with these games. I like them. Like, I finished the main story, and I still got a ton of side missions to do, but I'm just like, I don't know if I can do it.
And see, I'm the kind of person that I do the side missions as I go along.
Yeah.
So it's not, like, they can't even hit me with that.
Well, no, it's the problem with that, I'm usually the same way too, Rod.
Yeah.
The problem was, for this game, there were too many side missions.
Yeah, that's what I mean, makes... Yeah, I'm not even... Yeah, I'm not debating it. I'm saying,
And that's why you spend so many hours.
Like more... It just feels like work because I'm like, well, yeah. I guess I'll go climb this tower and free this district. Oh, someone wants me to go sell a painting for them. Let me go do that shit. And, like, you know, 20 hours in, I'm like, man, have I fucking, like, done anything to progress the story? What was I doing? What was the point of this?
Yes.
You know? See, this is what I'm playing Skyrim now, and Skyrim's the same way where, like, you cannot beat Skyrim because they have this system where it's like they'll generate new missions for side missions for you. The difference is with Skyrim, there is fun. Like, I'm playing these side missions, and like I just finished the Thieves Guild side missions, and I'm like, wow, that was fun. Like, it was awesome. You do the side missions in Assassin's Creed, and you're just like, oh, okay. Well, I got that checked off my list. I'm done with that. They stop becoming fun anymore. Like, I don't know, maybe they'll fix that for this next game, but because they're doing these games every year now, I don't think they will. And that's why I'm actually going to hold off on this next one, because they need to end soon. Like, they need to end soon.
But once EA got a hold of it and start releasing them like Madden, I think they lost something, and it feels like lost, man. I'm not even just talking about the gameplay, which is fucking redundant, but a lot of game is redundant. The story stopped progressing. Like, it was moving at a quick pace, and then at some point it just stopped and was like nah.
When I played Assassin's Creed 2, I was like, then when I played Brotherhood, I was like,
"Hey, say that again." We lost you for a second. When you played Assassin's Creed 3.
When I played two, and I played the next one, I think Brotherhood was after 2.
Yeah,
and I was like, "All right, cool. I can finally get some." Oh wait, I didn't get any answers.
Right.
I didn't get any answers here. Well, maybe we'll play. I can't remember. There's one after 2. I can't remember. I think there was one after Brotherhood, but I can't remember what it was. Mm-hmm. And I was like, still didn't get any answers with that one. So then I get Assassin's Creed 3. I'm like, okay, fine. We're going to America. Yeah, it was Revelations. So I was like, we didn't get any answers in Revelations either. All right, fine, fuck it. Let's go to, that's right. You're talking about Revelations. You're not even talking about
I'm talking about Revelations.
It gets even worse with Assassin's Creed 3.
Oh, fuck like, no.
I mean, it's so, Assassin's Creed 3 is massive. And the story is, is very involved, mm-hmm. but it's so, like, convoluted. And then when you end the main missions, you're just like, the fuck? And you're in America mm-hmm. now, and you're just like, I thought I was going to get answers. And you get none. And it's just like, are you guys planning on ending this soon? Like, right. how are you planning on doing this?
And especially since the mechanics are pretty much the complete same since the first one. You know, wow. As far as the not, like I said, I'm not on the third. I'm sure they've updated some things, but like a lot of the basic mechanics are still kind of the same where it's like you jump this way, you grab on this roof, you got this move when you're above an enemy, you got this move when you're below an enemy. And it's like, I don't know that I'm game for that anymore. Like you would almost need to overhaul the entire franchise to get me to be like, I'm back on board. Like, yeah. You like the combat in Mass Effect between the first to the third is so fucking more like different and fluid,
right?
And they keep a lot of the same mechanics, but it's like, let's add things to where when I pick up number three, it feels more like I know what the fuck I'm doing immediately, and right. and I feel like a badass immediately. Man, I pick up fucking Assassin's Creed 3, it's like, you're not gonna be actually fighting a lot of people. First you need to climb this tower, and then you're gonna need to sprint across these rooftops.
In three, you basically start off first. Well, not really. Yeah, you start off as a different, like, when they had the mission. Have you played three?
No.
You start off as a different person, don't you?
Yeah, it's a different person in three, but also, like, a little bit in there, you also start playing as the Connor, as a child.
Okay.
And that mission, I get what they were trying to do with that mission, but I'm like, this could have been a cut scene.
Yeah, they stayed right. So that's so right, man, because like even in this one, there's cut scenes. Not cut scenes. You play as Altair. I played as a 79-year-old Altair.
Yeah.
I don't need to do that. Make it a cut scene. Make it 2 seconds. I don't want to hold down forward on my stick and watch a dude hobble with a cane for fucking like 10 minutes to walk up to something and hit a button and then have another flashback and then walk with the cane and go take a seat. Like, fuck you, man. It's like, too much.
Take this cup over to such and such. And you're like, okay, am I going to get attacked by a bear or something when I'm doing this? Oh, I'm not. I really just walked over here to take him a
right.
cup. It's like, come on. Like, it's almost, they're almost too clever and almost too realistic in that they add in all the tedious stuff. Like, I remember there was a joke about Call of Duty, like, when Modern Warfare came out, because we were, like, saying that they're going to show you the next Modern Warfare is going to be real Modern Warfare, where they're going to show you a guy trying to fix a Humvee, and you're going to do that for, like, 2 hours. But that's like Assassin's Creed, where you'll do that. You'll spend so much time doing tedious stuff, like, walk with me as I talk to you.
Yes.
Oh, come on, let's just do a cutscene. Why? Right. Like, there's only that scene in the beginning, like, I think it was at the beginning of Revelations, where not only just the where you, you're playing, like, the old 70-year-old guy, but when you're walking through it, when you get into the new city, and you got to walk around the city mm-hmm. as they talk about the city with you, and I'm like, dude, I don't want to do this. I'll figure this shit out. Just
stop it. Just stop. Just, and you can't skip it because they make you play it.
Oh.
And it, like, that, these things just frustrated me, man. It just... I think I'm done because I'm tired. I shouldn't have to pay to be frustrated, man.
Ain't that the truth? Right.
They got to do better, man. I blame EA for taking over. I played Max Payne 3. It's definitely Impossible White Man. Like, one of the most impossible white man games I've ever played in my entire life. I killed at least 1,000 brown people. No repercussions.
No repercussions at all for it either.
No repercussions, dude. I'm talking, it does so much impossible white man shit that I start like putting my controller down like, really? Like, like there's a point where I do, I'm not going to spoil anything too much, but I'll say, like, you can spoil impossible white man. There's a point where they go complete Bad Boys 2. And like the bad guy is trying to escape on a plane and in a, you know, like a big airport in Brazil. Nigga, you go to the airport in Brazil with guns and shit. a civilian airport. This isn't a military base or anything.
Wow.
And you're just having a fucking shootout as like people run with their families. Like,
aww,
you shoot your way through 200 enemies to get to the last dude. And there's a moment where I said, yo, they're really going all the way impossible. There's a moment where you're sneaking, cause you're constantly sneaking around in all the cutscenes between, you know, they tried to do the John McClane thing where you killed 75 people with no silencer. But then before you go into the next room, you're like, shh, let me
be quiet.
Yeah, like, motherfucker, everybody knows you just killed everybody. What are you
doing? Come on now.
But they do all that. They do that, and you always open up the door, and nobody ever is waiting on you, by the way, which is
ridiculous.
Like, at some point, you would open one door, and someone would just have a shotgun in your face, like, bam. But not Max Payne. So you open the door, you're creeping around by some luggage and shit. You see the main bad guy, and I'm like, okay, cool. Let me just sneak over here and kill him. It cuts to back to a cutscene. Why the fuck do you come from behind cover and like, hey, asshole? I'm like completely losing your advantage of surprise and everything.
Oh.
And he's able to call for backup. He pulls out a grenade launcher. Like,
oh,
it made no fucking sense. But it's so impossible, man. Like, it was just, like none of the plot makes sense. Like, no, there's at least 75 times he should have died just on some like impossible white man. Like, just, he should have died on some like, well, you know, you can't do that, you know. Like, there's a point where I go to like the barrio in like or the favelas in Brazil, which is like real dangerous and, you know, like gang territory. Man, I walked up in that bitch with a Hawaiian shirt on, dude.
I remember when Max Payne 3 came out. And let me just say, I like the first two Max Payne. I played them on my computer all the time. I actually still have, I think, two.
Mm-hmm.
I like those games, right?
Me too.
And I was, I saw when Max Payne 3 came out, and I saw I read about it and stuff like that, and I was just like, yeah, I don't know if I can do this, yo. Cause it actually looked like it was just too much. Like, I saw him in that fat, he was like a little fat, a little chunky.
Yes.
He had the Hawaiian shirt on, and he was still doing the Max Payne shit, and I was just like, yeah, dude, I don't know if I'm ready for this.
Chris, there is a chapter of the story called 50-year-old fat bald white guy.
Are you serious?
Like, I looked at I was like, are they trolling me? Do they know about impossible white men and they just fucking with me? Like, it felt like someone made the game.
They should have said, this was for you, Rod.
Right. At some point, I thought he was going to, because, like, he does, that's the other thing. He's always doing this, like, detective narration. But it fit with the old games because they're kind of emotional and quiet and, like, all this tragedy happens around them. But in this one, man, it's almost like he's got jokes because he's like, she was sweating like a stuffed pig in a Brazilian barbershop. Like, what?
What does that even look like?
This is not the time for this right now, Max. You're trying to save a pregnant lady's life.
The first two, remember, were set up like graphic novel,
right?
Like video games. And so it made sense to have that narration because it was a crime graphic novel that you played through.
Right.
You know, and so they set up for that way. This game, this is why I didn't go and get it. Not saying it was bad or anything. It didn't fit what I was used to from Max Payne games.
Yeah, Rockstar took it over and changed it.
They made it rocky, didn't they?
They made it impossible white man. Like, I can get why people would hate this game because I kind of hate it to an extent because it's so impossible and it's so aware of it being impossible, dude. Like,
it's amazing.
Sometimes
that
you need that, though, dog. Sometimes you just need that.
Oh, Kelback. I thought you left, dog.
I'm like going to be in and out. I didn't even realize you guys were still podcasting. I was just like, oh shit.
We're just wrapping up the video game reviews, man. But yeah, Max Payne 3, man. Like, there's a point too. Like, I did have one major issue with the game. The cutscenes are too long, and I know what they were going for, impossible white man movies, and they had to get all the tropes in, and they did. To their credit, they did. You have the one-liners. You have the, you know, get an attitude, type shit that he does, you know, being a loose cannon. You got all that shit, and that's cool. But like, it took too much time to put it in there. I should never have to put my controller down for 10 minutes.
A 10 minute cutscene?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not joking. Multiple 10 minute cutscenes where like, you beat a level and it's like, it reminds me when I was on the fishing boat with Ramon. We were just coming back from Venezuela.
And watch a mini movie?
It was a mini movie. Like, it's like they keep doing this weird thing with the camera where they like show you drinking and then it gets all pixelated to show that you're a fucking alcoholic and, you do coke. Like, you do a bunch of fucked up shit in this game, but they do all this like, I was high on pills as usual and looking kind of rusty. I should have known I wasn't going to be prepared for what happened next.
And they play the sad music too? And the rain in the background?
Yes. And they all, and like, they're so ignorant with the American attitude. Like, there's periods of time, like, this nigga never learned Spanish. He doesn't even know Spanish, and everybody else there only speaks Spanish except for like a couple people, man.
How was he able to do anything?
You don't.
Showing me on this game. How much is it on Xbox right now?
I don't know how much it is, dude. I got this a long time ago and just didn't play it.
Did he go to the max and was like, come here, hombre, you.
Yes.
Oh shit.
He did that several times. Like, there's a point in time where like a motherfucker had a gun to his head, like speaking that shit. And you don't know it because they don't even tell you what the dude's telling you. It's just like,
they didn't even give me the subtitles for the dude speaking English.
Not even a subtitle. It's just like, you're like, and then he's like, he just like stands up to the dude. Keep in mind, the dude has a gun to his fucking temple and he just stands up. He's supposed to be like on the ground, with his hands on his head. He stands up. He's like, I don't know what the fuck you are saying. And he's like, I don't speak English. And it just like takes the gun from the dude and shoots him. I was like, see, man, this is some impossible white man shit.
What game is this again, Rod?
It's Max Payne 3.
Oh, wow.
It's so impossible, dude. That shit happened. They had another part where, they have another part in the game where like you run into the barrio or whatever the fuck, the favelas. You're wearing a Hawaiian shirt. Oh, on top of your Hawaiian shirt, gun holsters, nigga. You're not even concealing the guns.
Right, I remember that.
And he walks into a fucking, like, reggaeton party, and everybody's just partying, and he walks in, like, I'm looking for Ramon or some shit, and it's like, man, what? That would never work. And, like, he is narrating it, telling you it will never work. He's like, I don't know what I was thinking. This plan was stupid and it was not gonna work. I thought I was just gonna walk my 50-year-old fat ass in there and tell these people how I was. I was like, dude, whatever. And then like, he gets disarmed and all this shit and you have another long ass cutscene. And by the time you get a gun, you just kill 75 brown people, dude. It's like, as soon as you get a gun, nigga, you shoot cops, you shoot everything in this game.
Everything moving, just
that
brown.
You should not be able to do, man. I don't know if they just were like, yo, Bruce Willis, can you please design this game for us or what? But it is the most, like, impossible old white man game. I didn't even use bullet time, y'all. The game is designed.
Didn't they push and promote that?
That's the fundamental feature of Max Payne. I barely fucking use bullet time. He was so impossible, dude. All you do is, like, you get shot up and you just take some pills. Your vision blurs for a second and you're back to health.
You know what? Now that you think about it, Max Payne has always been an impossible white man genre cut game.
Yeah.
But this stuff is even more impossible than usual, yo.
It is.
It's like, awesome.
Remember on the old Max Paynes, you pretty much needed bullet time or you would die. Like,
yeah, had to use bullet time.
Dude, I would just walk in, cover behind like a desk and proceed to kill 17 bulletproof vest wearing cops that had helmets on with a fucking 9.
Wow.
I would just pick them apart like bam, bam, bam. And then some other thing, the door. And then it's like he does the Bruce Willis shit where like the door opens, 17 other brown, well-armed men come in. And then he's like, oh boy, here comes some more.
On my day off.
Like, this is such bullshit. Well, yeah, I played it and I beat it, man. I can't say it was a good game. but
it sounded like a great movie.
But mostly, yeah, but it's a great Impossible White Man movie. And the last game I'm playing, I'm not done with it yet, so I'm not really reviewing it, but Deadpool, go get that shit.
That's funny. I was waiting for that, yo.
Yeah, just go get that shit. Yeah.
I've been seeing your tweets about the comedy in it, and I'm down.
Yeah, it's definitely the funniest game I've played in maybe ever. There's a point where, because I'm not spoiling too much shit. This is like I'm only like an hour in, so I don't have much to spoil. But he does so much cool shit. You know how in the comic books, Deadpool is always addressing the fact that he's a comic book character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'll directly look at the listener or the reader and be like, oh no. Or he'll make an inside joke with comic books like, oh no, looks like Jim Lee drew this dude. And you're like, what? Shoot, taking shots at Jim Lee? Well, he does that in this game, man. Well, he'll like whenever you hit like a counter button, like you do in the Arkham games for Batman, it plays the old school Batman sound.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So if you hit that button, it's like, he has voices that talk to him. Like, you have two distinct voices in your head, but he also imagines shit. So whenever you run into a new character, you can hit the A button. If you hit the A button, it'll be like, it'll go through like comic book panels of that character's history. It's like Cable. Wow. He was first seen in X-Men such and such, and he did this, that, but it's him doing the narration. So like one of them was, it was like, hit A if you want to know who the fuck is Cable. And so, and so I hit A. Oh, that's right. There's a lot of cursing in this. It's very vulgar. So I hit A. And the shit was like, who the fuck is Cable? He's a man out of time coming back to stop crime. I was like, this shit is so good. There's another part where, you're like with the X-Men, cause there's like a lot of characters make cameos in this, and your plane crashes and everyone's unconscious. It's like, do you want to go wake Wolverine up? So I was like, yeah, I want to go wake him up, cause maybe it's like a buddy mission or something. I didn't know. So it's like, slap Wolverine until he wakes up. And then that's A, or it says B, be a bitch. So of course I hit A. And every time you slap him, you drop a one liner. I slapped this dude for 5 minutes straight, man. And then I got an achievement. The achievement was slapping Wolverine. And he never woke up, by the way. He never woke up. He was like at one point you're slapping and he's like, I hit you because I hate you. You slap him again, it's like, and I hit you because I love you. It's like, and this is for being in all the other comic books.
Yo, that sounds awesome. Like, how's the actual gameplay? Is it like,
the gameplay is real like frantic. It's kind of cartoonish. Like, you have a healing factor and you can always kind of run around a corner, wait 10 seconds and heal anyway. But, it's basically like a mix of, and you can upgrade a lot of shit on the fly. So you get a ton of points and you just hit the select button and you're like, okay, I want to upgrade my guns. I want to upgrade my swords. There's other weapons you can get too. I'm only an hour in, so I haven't broke them all out. The villains are kind of repetitive as far as like the cannon fodder people. You know, there's like the dudes with the guns that obviously, you know, you want to shoot. There's guys that come out with swords and shit like that. You gotta, you know, sword up. And then the boss fights are pretty simple so far. Like you just kind of hit, there's a button where you can teleport. You just hit the B button. Whenever someone goes to attack you, you pretty much be okay. But the main thing for the game is him being crazy. And that's really where all the fun comes from.
And see, that's the thing. When I read the reviews for this game, I think a lot of people didn't understand what they were getting. Like I knew that if I got this game, it was probably gonna be more for the funny factor and not for the, you know, wow, this is just an awesome, you know, great gameplay. It's got different. I knew it wasn't gonna be that way. And so that's why I was kind of waiting to see what you said about it.
Yeah.
Cause I kind of figured that's what it was going to be more of.
They totally captured Deadpool. Like, and not just a comic book. He's aware he's in a video game and he makes jokes about it. Like, he said, when I was slapping with Marine, he was like, I'm slapping you because the player won't stop pressing A. Like he does shit like that, man, where you just like, oh, this is awesome. He talks shit about High Noon Studios, who made the game. So he'll be like, really? A moving pipe that I have to jump on? I guess you guys ran out of ideas. At one point, he's like, who designed my apartment? Like, cause it's like, do you want to read something off his shelf? And you try to pick it up and all the books stick together. Cause you know, that's how pixels work. And then he throws them down and then he like picks up the whole shelf and no books fall off. And he's like, I guess you had the intern design the inside of the apartment since it's not going to be in the game. I was like, damn, this is so dope. But, yeah, man, I highly recommend it so far. I'm only an hour in, but, I've been giggling like a fucking schoolgirl, at every level. Man, he made a joke about, a chick he was fighting. When he was talking about her tits and she's like, what, you know, she's like, whatever, I still got power, or whatever. So you fight her, or whatever, you beat her. And she like hits the ground so that you fall into the sewer. So you come to and you can see her impaled on a pole and he takes his fingers and does like the Kids in the Hall pinching thing where he's like feeling her boobs.
Aww.
By looking at him. And then he goes, well, the pole I was offering you was way more pleasurable than that. And then it pans out. And you're stuck on a pole too. And he's like, fuck. Dude, it's good, man. I just got to say, man, it's the most fun I've had playing a game in a long time. And it's a big break from Max Payne 3 and Assassin's Creed Revelations. I'm glad I got it. Hey, Kev, what have you been playing, man?
I think he might be gone again.
Oh, he's gone? All right. Well, this has been another episode of Nerd Off, where some nerds went off and left us a couple times. But we didn't do a show last week, so I think that's why this one got a little long.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. Unless you really like long shows, then I'm glad that you got a long show. We'll be back, next week, man, with same nerd time, same nerd channel, man. Until then, make sure you guys go and check out, Ian, and his, he's at insaneian.com, thefump.com, and youtube.com/puddingcapacity. Check out Chris. We're going to be on his new show, Playing Dead. I think it's going to be fun. I think people who like Walking Dead will enjoy it, especially if you like the video games. And, of course, Insanity Check podcast, for Chris and Kev. So until next time, peace. We out.